I'd like to ask you to open your Bibles tonight to the book of Matthew, chapter number 28. This is becoming a very well-known passage. And I hope by the end of this year, you will literally start dreaming and hearing these words in your dream. And you will say, wow, I've never dreamed Scripture before. That would be fantastic. Matthew chapter number 28, verses 18 through 20. Many of you have already memorized this. Let's all stand for the reading of God's Word. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, say it with me, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Let's turn over now to Mark chapter 16 and see a parallel passage. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 16. Mark 16, 15 through 16. I'll read these two verses. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. We also will look at Luke chapter 24, verse 46. Luke 24, verses 46 to 49. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And then in John chapter number 20, verses 19 through 23, John 20, verse 19 to 23. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. And then Acts chapter number 1, verses 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Judea and in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening and we beg you to come into our presence and speak to us tonight. Lord, we do not need to hear from a man, we need to hear from God. Lord, I pray that you just move me out of the way and that you take control this evening. Lord, I pray that you would allow me to convey the message that you put upon my heart. I believe it's from you, Lord. Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. Lord, I pray that you would remove any obstacle in my life and in the lives of my brothers and sisters that would hinder your working. Lord, I pray that you would receive great glory. Lord, help us this evening to listen to your voice. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You may be seated. I believe that one of the greatest historical events that has ever occurred was when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, rose from the dead. Can you imagine an event like that happening today? Take just a moment and think what the news networks would have to say. And then we hear so many people say, especially outside of this country, all America is a Christian nation. Well, I wish that were so. If this was a well-known person in today's society who died, and 3 days later, after he was dead, suddenly the tomb opened up and he came out visibly and people saw him. Can you imagine the type of stir that would create? Everyone in the world would want to know who this is. What's going on? How did this happen? The Bible records that for 40 days after Jesus rose from the dead, he was here upon this earth and was seen by many witnesses, according to the book of 1 Corinthians, up to 500 people at a single occasion. Yet during that time, the scriptures do not record one single person who was healed of their sickness. The scriptures do not record any dead that were raised to life. The scriptures do not record any blind that were given sight. The scriptures do not record any demons that were cast out. The scriptures do not record any messages that were preached. The scriptures do not record any miracles of any type that were made during those 40 days. But as the biblical authors, the evangelists, came together by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, their recollection of those 40 days can be summed up in what we call the Great Commission, found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then again in the book of Acts. It's amazing that if we consider the words of Jesus Christ after his resurrection as our command, that we still have not accomplished this commission. If I were to put a title on the message tonight, I would call it the Greatest Commission. This is the greatest thing that we have been commanded to do. This is the most important thing that you and I can be involved in. There are many good things that we can do in life, and many of us are involved in a wide array of activities, but the most important thing has got to be to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with those who do not know. On Friday morning, as my wife and I were in a waiting room, she was scrolling through her phone, looking at Facebook while I was madly trying to answer some emails and text messages, and all of a sudden she broke down into tears. I asked her, I said, "Marcy, what happened?" She said, "I just found out that one of my uncles passed away. He died without Christ." It's one of the hardest things that you can receive is the news, unexpected. Just 2 weeks ago, she talked to him. Before they hang up, he said, "Marcy, I want you to know, you've always been one of my favorites." He'd heard the gospel. He knew what he was supposed to do. But he had rejected Jesus Christ. It's a personal decision. But I pray that every person on earth would at least have the opportunity to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. So many people today have never once had a clear presentation of the gospel. And we must do more. We must pray that God would help us. The primary responsibility of the church is to make Christ known and obeyed and loved throughout the world. That was said by Pastor John Mott. Oswald J. Smith, who is known as the father of faith promise missions, he's famous for saying, "The mission of the church is missions." But he also said this: "Any church that is not seriously involved in accomplishing the Great Commission has forfeited its right to exist." So if God has given this Great Commission to us, how are we supposed to accomplish it? According to the scriptures that we've just read tonight, the only way that you and I can be actively involved in accomplishing the Great Commission is to fulfill 5 conditions. And unless we fulfill all 5 of these conditions, we can forget it. It's not going to happen. But if we fulfill all of these 5 conditions, we're going to be part of accomplishing the Great Commission. So what's the first condition? Going back to Matthew chapter 28, the scriptures record certain key words over and over. But there's a very important word used here in Matthew 28:18. Where Jesus said this: "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." The key word here is power. So what is the condition? The condition is that you and I have that power. You said, well, wait a minute, Brother Bill. This power here, it doesn't say that that power is ours. It says Jesus said, all power is given unto me. Oh, yeah, you're right. But did you notice Acts chapter number 1 and verse number 8? It says, what does it say there? But ye shall receive power. Whose power is this? It's Jesus' power. Why does he give it to us? So we can accomplish his mission. You cannot accomplish the Great Commission in your own strength. Now the devil will tempt you to try. He has tempted me to try. He's tempted me to say, oh, I'm strong. I can handle this. I can talk to this person. I can tell them. I can share the gospel with them. I know how to do it. I've done it before. I can do this. And it's a royal failure. And then you go to the next person and you say, dear God, I don't even know where to begin. And somebody looks at you and said, but haven't you won tons of people to the Lord? Well, yeah, I just don't know where I'm even going to start. And you look to God and you say, Lord, would you please give me your power? And God says, sure thing, here it is. Well, I don't know if he says sure thing, but he does give it to us. I was in Trujillo, Peru. I'd just gotten in a taxi. This driver had on loud rock music. He had a great big sign of the Virgin Mary hanging from his rearview mirror. He obviously had 1,000 things on his mind and he was smoking. I told him where I needed to go and we were driving madly through the streets. And as I sat there in that taxi, I said, dear God, I have no idea how to begin talking to this man about you. I did not have a clue. I suddenly remembered what my friend Pastor Kim Hayes sometimes does. He loves to use this line with taxi drivers. He says, hey, as a taxi driver, you must know your way to almost anywhere. You probably know how to get to any place here in town. Taxi drivers normally say, oh, yes, of course, that's my business. I'm very good at this. And then he says this, well, do you know how to get to heaven? And I tried that. As soon as I said those words, he reached over and switched off the music, threw the cigarette out. He said, sir, that's the most important question I've ever been asked, and I have no idea. Can you help me? And I said, dear God, thank you. You see, that wasn't my power. That's not my strength. It's not my ingenuity. You say, well, yeah, but you had a really good line to use. Let me tell you something. I tried it again. It doesn't always work. When God gives us his power, he can open up doors that look like they've got a huge padlock on them, and they just swing right open. That's his power. And if you and I are going to actually fulfill the Great Commission this year, we have got to have his power. We cannot do it in our own strength. We will utterly fail if we try. Second condition, if we are going to fulfill the Great Commission, is that we have to preach. Not only do we have to have the power, we have to preach. As much as we may hate preaching, and you might say, Brother Bill, we don't hate preaching. That's why we're here on a Sunday night. I realize that. But sometimes there's a point at which you and I sometimes may say, oh boy, I wish there was some other way. You know, like, just share the gospel. There's more to it. Sometimes you got to preach. And preaching always isn't popular. Notice what it says in Mark chapter 16. It says in 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. We have to preach the gospel. We have to proclaim the gospel. I was in Mexico here a few months back on a Tuesday night, and I preached in the church service, and I said, folks, I believe, I really felt in my heart, there's someone here tonight that needs to share the gospel before you even go to sleep tonight. There was a lady seated in the back. By her own testimony, 2 days later when she came and talked to me about this, she said, I was seated there, and it was like the Lord himself said, you're the one. You're supposed to talk to someone tonight. Before you go to bed, tonight you're supposed to talk to someone. She left the church and she and her husband were literally looking on the sides of the street if God would point someone out that she felt she was supposed to speak to. And she got home and there wasn't anyone. And she said, it's just strange. I feel like I was supposed to have said something to someone and I don't know who. And I feel like I'm supposed to share the gospel. I'm supposed to preach to someone. I'm supposed to help them. And I don't know why. And they closed the garage. And as they closed the garage, the next thing, about 30 seconds later, they heard two gunshots. She opened up the door, ran outside, and her neighbor was on the ground. A car was racing off. He had been shot twice in the chest, her next door neighbor. As he was bleeding out there on the ground, she came up to him and she said, "Sir, you're going to die in just a few seconds. But you need to know something. You are a sinner. But Jesus Christ came here to this earth to die for your sins, and he paid the price for your sins. If you ask him to accept you, if you ask him to forgive your sins and you accept him as your personal savior, when you die in just a few seconds, you can go and spend eternity with him in heaven." He couldn't speak. I'm sorry to be so graphic, but there was actually blood coming out the side of his mouth. He was just shaking his head. His eyes were wild. She bowed her head and she said, "Repeat this prayer if you mean it with all your heart." And she prayed a sinner's prayer. Her daughter, 16 years old, was standing behind her watching this. She said, while her mom's head was bowed looking down, this man the whole time kept his eyes open. He just kept shaking and shaking his head, yes. Just after they finished praying, within a few seconds, the man died. Folks, there wasn't time to get 911 there. There was nothing that a doctor could have done on the spur of the moment to save this man's life. He was at the point of death. What that man needed was not a doctor. He needed someone who could preach the gospel to him. You see, that's why we would say it's now or never. Time is running out. We really don't have all day. There are people who are waiting for the gospel that unless we reach them, they're going to be lost. And we must preach the gospel to them. The third condition that we must have if we are going to fulfill the Great Commission is in Luke chapter 24. Look at verse number 47, and it says, And behold, I send the promise of my Father unto you. We need the promise. And what is this promise? It's the promise of his presence. We need that promise. We need to claim that promise. In Matthew chapter 28, verse number 20, it says, "And lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. Amen." According to some people, Mongolia is the end of the world. When they think about the end of the world, it's like Mongolia, and then you just take another step and you fall off the edge of the earth. But can I tell you, it's not the end of the earth. Because I've been there. And when I arrived, God was already there waiting for us. And he was with us the whole time. God will go with you, but you've got to claim that promise and say, "I'm taking it. It's mine. I'm going up to this door. I'm going to knock on this door. I'm going to tell them about Jesus because he's standing right here next to me. They just can't see him. He's right here. He's with me. I know he's here. I can sense his presence." I'd tell them, "Hey, let me introduce you to my invisible friend," but they, you know, think I was crazy. But the Lord is literally with me right now. He's here. And if we believe that and we claim that promise and we say, "Lord, you are with me," we will have strength, we will have valor, we will have courage to go and share the gospel. Do you know why we don't share the gospel? Because we feel alone. We're like, "Oh, God's not with me. I don't think I can do this. I'm all by myself. There's nobody here to help me." But if we think God himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the omnipotent creator of the earth, is standing right here by my side, absolutely, bang, 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 I need to tell you something very important. You see, the Bible tells us that this promise is absolutely indispensable. If we're going to fulfill the Great Commission, we need this promise. We need to claim this promise and say, "God, you are with me." You may be going through a difficult time right now. Please don't forget God's with you. It is so important when you and I attempt to share God's word and to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ that we claim that promise. I remember Tuesday morning, for just a second, I felt absolutely alone. I felt heartbroken. When I woke up at about 7 o'clock in the morning this Tuesday, I heard my wife making a noise that didn't sound right. She was in horrible pain. I jumped out of bed. I ran around to the other side. I said, "Marcy, what's going on?" She just lay there. She said, She had dislocated 4 ribs in her back. The right side of her shoulder was all balled up, and the left side, it was like there was no shoulder there. I went over to her, and she tried to stand up, and I held her. And as I did, I felt on this side this huge ball, and over here it was like there was nothing to grab onto. I said, "Oh my goodness, what has happened?" She said, "Oh, I can't walk, I can't walk." It was just a few seconds later, and she passed out in my arms. I didn't know what to do. And then I remembered God's promise. And I said, "Lord, thank you that you're right here next to me. Would you please help me? Because I need you right now. I do not know what to do." The Lord put on my heart, or my wife, I don't remember whose idea it was, to call our chiropractor. We called her up. I explained the situation to her. She told us what to do. We got my wife to her office. It was excruciating for her to even get in the car. When she arrived at the chiropractor's, 2 of us had to carry her in. She was just in horrible shape. An hour later, she was able to walk out by herself. You see, that's God's promise to be with us. It doesn't matter what the struggle is, what the problem is, God is with us at all times. And if we're going to be faithful in accomplishing the Great Commission, we have got to have that promise. John chapter number 20. We find a 4th word that is repeated twice. And this condition is absolutely indispensable for accomplishing the Great Commission. John chapter 20, verse number 19. At the end of verse number 19, Jesus says, "Peace be unto you." And then again in verse 21, "Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you." Peace. The 4th condition, if we're going to accomplish the Great Commission, is to have peace. One of the strangest things that happens is that when you and I are faced with adversity, while we are trying to present the gospel, there is an unspeakable peace that comes into our hearts and fills us with peace. It doesn't matter what's going on. I remember when I was only about 18 years old, I was at Pensacola Christian College, and I'd gone out on a Saturday with a buddy, and we were out knocking doors on a military base, and we went to this home, and I knocked on the door, and a man came out, and he said, "Yes." I said, "Well, we're here, and I'd like to speak to you about the things of the Lord." He said, "Just a second, be right back." He went inside, got his M16, came out, opened up the door, pointed it right at us, and said, "Get off my property. I'm going to shoot you for trespassing." And my response, contrary to what I expected, was to have total peace. And I laughed and I said, "Wow, that's interesting. Nice gun. Hey, listen, we'd like to invite you to church. We're leaving, but can I please give you this?" He said, "Well, sure." And he accepted it. And we left. Now, I've never had a gun pointed at me at that close range by anyone who is as mad as that man was. Something had to have been going on before we got to that house. I don't know what. And I had complete peace. Now, it's happened several times since. But isn't it amazing that you can be in a horrific situation trying to do God's will for your life and have total peace about what's going on because He's with us? He's the one who sent us to that door. He's the one that sent us with that message. And He gives us the peace to go and do it. If you don't have that peace, you won't fulfill the Great Commission. You have anxiety in your heart. You're not sure what's going to happen. You're struggling. You just don't know. You don't have peace about going and talking to your neighbor, and you want to, and you feel guilty, and you say, "Oh, Pastor Jill's going to ask me on Sunday if I went and talked to my neighbor, and oh, I just don't have peace. Oh, I wish I had peace." God will give you peace. You have to ask Him for it. He'll give you great peace to do that which you don't think you can accomplish. Isn't it amazing that everything we need, God has already promised to give to us? You know, the key to peace is obedience to God's word. A very strange thing happens here. Peace is the direct result of obedience. But watch how this happens. See, first, we obey God's word, and then we learn from God's Spirit as we are obeying God's word. And then we obey God's Spirit as we are learning from God's word. So we learn from God's word and obey His Spirit, and then we learn from the Spirit as we obey the word. They work together. It's like two pieces of a jigsaw puzzle that fit absolutely perfectly together. God's word and God's Spirit working together in our life to give us absolute peace for what we're supposed to do. I tell you, when we obey God's word and we obey God's Holy Spirit, there is great peace in doing that and knowing I did what God wanted me to do. You know, sometimes God asks us to do crazy things that we weren't expecting. Make decisions that we think are ludicrous, but we know it's God's will. And then when we do it, we later on say, "Oh God, thank you so much that you didn't let me make a horrible mistake. Thank you for giving me the peace to make the right decision." But there is a fifth condition, and that fifth condition is to follow God's plan. In Acts chapter number 1, verse number 8, we find that God has a plan. That plan is found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Acts. But look in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8. It says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Now I want you to notice this. God wants every local church to have a global impact, a global influence. God wants you and I to take advantages of the opportunities that He extends to us, and He will give us those opportunities if we are willing to obey His word and His will. A couple of years ago, I was in Barcelona. I was about to get into a car. I was with four other men. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation like this, but when there's a group of guys and you're trying to get in a car and you're rushing to go somewhere, there's this sudden urgency to get in the car and just go. As I was getting in the car, I saw this lady walking down the street on the opposite side of the road, and God told me, go give her a tract. That's the last thing I wanted to do. How do I tell four guys, I don't care that they're preachers, God wants me to go give that lady a tract? Well, what about all the other 100 people on the street? You going to go do that too, Bill Patterson? No, there was just one. I felt like it was her. I said, hey guys, I'll be right back. I didn't explain. I didn't want them to tell me not to. I ran across the road. I said, ma'am, can I give you a tract? She said, did you just come out of here? I said, yes, ma'am. That's a church. She said, oh, I know. She said, I've lived here for 20 years. I walk past this church every day, several times a day. I said, well, ma'am, has anybody ever shown you from God's word how that you can know for sure you're on your way to heaven? She said, you know, as I come by this church, I've sometimes wondered what it is that they teach. I said, well, they'll teach you how to go to heaven if you'll go in there. She said, well, I'd like that very much. I opened up the door. I called one of the ladies. I said, excuse me, can you please talk to her? She's interested in hearing the gospel. I went back out, got in the car, and left. I told the guys what was going on. They thought it was pretty strange. That lady got saved that day. Why was it that lady? I don't know. But as sure as my name is Bill Patterson, God told me, give her a tract. I said, okay. And I gave her a tract. You see, God has a plan. He wants us to follow His plan. His plan is absolutely perfect. And He always knows what's best. My question to you tonight is this. Do you have God's power upon your life? Can you say truly, Brother Bill, I do have God's power? If not, could I ask you please to come up here tonight to the altar and say, dear God, I don't have your power, but I need it and I want it. Please give it to me, Lord. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, well, you know, Brother Bill, actually the problem is I've never preached the gospel. I've never told anyone else how to be saved, and I'm not sure I can, but I want to. I need God to help me. Why don't you come up here and say, dear God, I've never won a soul to Christ. I've never told anyone else how to be saved, but God, I want to. I believe that's my responsibility and duty as a Christian, and I want to. God, please help me. Ask him to help you. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, you know, my greatest need is I need to grab that promise from God, his presence, that he is with me every hour of every day. No matter what, he will go with me. Then come up here and ask God to give you that promise and to go with you so that you will feel his presence. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, I just don't have that peace from God. And I need that peace. There's just some things going on. Bill, please pray for me. Come up here and ask God for peace. And last, you'd say, I'm not following God's plan for my life. I know I'm not. I've got other things in mind. I've got other things I want to do. I'm interested in other things, but I need to follow God's plan. Please humble yourself and submit to God's will and fulfill his plan. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless this invitation. Let your will be done in our lives. Oh God, please speak to hearts. With your heads bowed and your eyes still closed, no one's looking around. Maybe you're here tonight and you'd say, Bill, God's spoken to me. There's a decision I need to make. I need to obey God's will. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you. If that's your will, if that's your desire tonight, you'd say, please pray for me. God has spoken to me. There's a decision I need to make. I'd like to pray for you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. How many here would say, Brother Bill, I do not have God's power upon my life, but I know I need it. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand? How many here would say, Brother Bill, I need God's promise of his presence in my life. Please pray for me. Would you raise your hand if that's your need? Maybe you'd say, I need God's peace. Please pray for me. Is that your desire tonight? God bless you. Is there anyone here who would say, I've never, ever shared the gospel. I've never preached to anyone. I've never told them how to be saved. I've never done that. But I want to this year. I want God to use me to lead a soul to Christ. If that's your prayer, would you raise your hand this evening? I'd like to pray for you. Very well. God bless you. I'd like to ask you all to stand. We're going to have a hymn of invitation. As our pianist begins to play this evening, if God has spoken to your heart, would you please leave your place, come here to the front, find a place to kneel and pray, and ask God to help you to do his will for your life. The altar is open.